You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sivasodi. The WHO estimates that only about 50% of patients with chronic diseases in the developed world comply with their medications and doctor's advice. Half of the medication picked up from the chemist or from the doctor's receptionist by patients who are chronically ill will be discarded. Now, the pills or potions will disappear into the local sewer rather than down the patient's throat. And here to tell us how we must be compliant with our medications is Associate Professor Dr. Kenneth Fong, a consultant ophthalmologist and retinal specialist. Welcome to the show, Dr. Fong.
Thank you, Mira. Great pleasure to be here.
Dr. Fong, what do you mean by compliance?
Well, compliance basically is what we term as the degree to which patients follow doctor's advice and their medications that they are prescribed. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most significant public health issues around the world today because it reflects how chronic diseases are not managed well enough, and it reflects that despite all we're doing, we're not reaching out to the patients that need it most.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking more about how much money is going to waste.
That's right.
50%
yes,
it's of the patients. Number. Would you say that it's pretty similar in Malaysia?
It's probably higher in Malaysia because very often the patients have to pay for their own medications, and we can measure this by their prescription refill rates. So in a government hospital, for example, if a patient doesn't come back every 3 months to collect their medications, they are most likely non-compliant and have gone elsewhere. But we don't have a mechanism to track them.
Okay. And then, of course, you have those in the private sector. So
exactly.
That's even more
yes.
difficult. Would you say, rather than compliance, the politically correct term for the patient who doesn't cooperate with their medications is concordance? Now, concordance implies that the treatment is an agreed one. If this attitude can be achieved, now the patients would be more likely to take their pills and not waste a whole lot of money. And of course, endanger their health and, produce all sorts of tension in the relationship between the doctor and their patient.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, concordance mentions that doctor and patients discuss what they want and they agree on the planned treatment and they go ahead with it. But it's still debatable which is a more accurate terminology. But I use umbrella term compliance to encompass this as well. Mm-hmm. And of course, we assume that what has been prescribed has been agreed on by the patient.
And when you talk about patients not complying, you also have those who do it unintentionally and then those who do it intentionally. What has been the case with your patients?
In my experience, there's a mixture. The unintentional patients who are non-compliant are probably those that are forgetful, that don't have a regular regime when taking medications and don't take them. Whereas the intentional non-compliance patients probably don't have enough knowledge about their own disease to be able to understand why they need to regularly take the medications. Mm-hmm. But they still faithfully attend their clinic appointments. And in my case, very often glaucoma patients, which is a disease of the eye where the eye pressure is high, they have to put lots of eye drops in. They often put the eye drops a week before they come to the clinic. Mm-hmm. So when they come and see me, their eye pressures are actually normal or very good. So then we're all very happy. But in actual fact, when they go home, they stop using the eye drops.
All right, okay.
So that's why I think those are deliberately non-compliant.
Right. What about those who don't agree with their doctor's opinion?
Well, in Malaysia, we're very lucky. We have a plethora of doctors everywhere now. So they often seek a second, third, or even fourth or fifth opinions. Mm-hmm. These patients would then find a doctor that agrees with what they believe, how their disease will be managed.
Okay. So those are those who doctor shop.
That's right.
Go around picking up medications from every doctor. I mean, what would you say about that?
Yes, there is a large segment of our population that do that. But I think the vast majority of our patients do still stick to their main physician and do try their best to follow the instructions. But for various reasons, they can't.
You know, when you talk about specific diseases, where would you say compliance is absolutely crucial?
It is absolutely crucial for the chronic diseases, particularly diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, and as I mentioned, glaucoma. Because if you don't take your medications on a long-term basis, the effects can be very severe. So I think for those diseases, they're quite important. For acute diseases like an infection, it's actually very easy for the patient because they just take a short period of antibiotics, 1 or 2 weeks, and they're cured and they get better and they're happy.
There you go. Talk about antibiotics. And, I know a whole lot of people who don't even finish antibiotics course.
Yes, it's a very big problem. Resistance to antibiotics increases when you take only a short, half the course and the bugs in your body are not completely eradicated. So that is an issue. But in my experience, most patients will complete these short acute courses for acute diseases. But the chronic diseases are the ones that we want to focus on.
Okay. Let's talk about what causes this non-compliance. What is it that, you know, causes it?
There are many reasons. The main ones are basically, as you mentioned earlier, the patients have unresolved concerns. So they haven't had time during a consultation to ask the questions they want answered, and they haven't had their issues looked at in a doctor. And there are many reasons for this. Most of the time, doctors are very busy, the clinics are full, and there's not enough time to give to the patient. The other issue is poor communication. So we have many different doctors from backgrounds and patients of different backgrounds. So sometimes language is a barrier, which can be difficult. In my hospital, for example, we also have trainee doctors from other countries who don't even speak Malay, and they speak English not very well. They can't speak the local dialects, and they require nurses to help interpret. So a lot of the communication is lost there. Mm-hmm. And the other one is that complex regimens. Many patients on chronic diseases on multiple medications, polypharmacy. So there are more than four tablets. So they cannot keep track of when they have to take the tablets and what tablet to take. So they, in the end, they probably, you know, taking a mishmash of their medications.
Is there a way around that?
Well, the pharmacists have designed many, many things to help that. I mean, they've got special boxes for your tablets. For glaucoma eye drops, we have special aids to help put eye drops. In my university, the pharmacy department has designed special reminders for patients to put the eye drops. But still, we find that this hasn't really scratched the surface of non-compliance in our patients. And one of the big issues also is cost of medications. You know, if you're a patient having to fork out 200-300 ringgit every month for your disease tablets or drops, it can really be a strain on your pocket.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sort of guilty in a way. I can't even take vitamins on time.
Well, that's right. Yeah,
I think that's a good gauge. Can you take vitamins on time?
That's very good. Well, actually, more recently, my wife has instituted me on a regular fish oil supplement and vitamin.
Your wife?
My wife, yes. Because she felt that my...
This is hilarious.
Yes.
Is she a doctor as well?
She's a dietitian. So
okay, that explains
a
lot.
I work long hours. I often miss meals. And hospital food sometimes leaves a little to be desired. So as a rule, every morning at breakfast time, there's this big yellow pill, fish oil with an orange pill. The supplement's waiting for me at breakfast. So I just swallow it.
But there you go. Somebody has got it already for you.
That's right.
But
that's
when
right.
you have to take it yourself...
It's very difficult.
It is a difficult thing.
It's very
thing.
Difficult, yes. Yeah. And also, very often I've bought supplements myself, but it stays in a cupboard. And when I look
it's
at
expired.
It, it's expired. And you've wasted 100 ringgit.
Yes. Yeah. But this is, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are laughing all the way to the bank at the end of the day.
That's right.
But there has to be a better way of sort of, you know, managing the whole thing. How would you describe the people who are non-compliant? Okay, I would be a perfect example.
I think you're right. I mean, most of us are very busy. We live in a modern world. We are working hard, we're playing hard, and there's really little time to set aside to look after our health. And this goes to the bigger picture of our overall health, you know, taking time to exercise and look after ourselves. And yes, I mean, it encompasses a whole group, the young, the old, the middle-aged. And in fact, I think there's no particular demographic of patient that you say is non-compliant. Mm-hmm. All of us are guilty of it at some stage. For the working people, it's usually they're too busy. For the elderly, they might forget their medications, or they might find it difficult to know which medications to take. And many of my patients don't even know what tablets they're on. They just tell me it's a pink tablet, a yellow tablet, a blue tablet, and they take as a toll. But very often, if you actually analyze in detail, they may be overdosing on one particular tablet and taking less of the other. So it is a big issue.
How important is it to know what you're taking? Because I know in certain clinics, they don't even label
that, absolutely.
What you're taking.
It's still a very paternalistic attitude among our medical community in some stages, whereby I've seen these boxes of eye drops where the name of the eye drop is covered up by a sticker, and they're just told to take this 3 times a day for 1 month. And they have no idea what it's for. They're just told to take it. So I think in a sense that we as the medical profession have to interact more with our patients in that sense and just explain to them why they're taking the medication.
Okay, the reason being, why has this been blocked off so that they have to come back to you and buy it?
Not particularly. I'm not sure. I think there's no space. I mean, it's quite a small box or bottle, so there's no space to put the label elsewhere. There could be many reasons.
Okay.
I mean, they don't know what they're taking. That's the key issue. And if they don't know what they're taking and why they're taking it, they often stop taking it altogether.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What diseases would you say are prone to non-compliance?
Yes, as I mentioned, I mean, as an eye surgeon, I see lots of patients with glaucoma, and this is one of the diseases that is prime for non-compliance because it's a disease that progresses very slowly. Treatment is designed to prevent visual loss, not improve it. So patients who have to put eye drops every day don't actually see the benefits. They come back every 6 months to see the doctors, have the eye pressures checked. They may have other tests done. And then they're told, oh, everything's fine, you're stable, but carry on with your eye drops. And it's indefinitely for 10, 20 years. So as a result, many of these patients feel, well, why am I doing this? You know, I'm spending this amount of money, I'm getting side effects from the eye drops, I don't see any benefit. So they stop altogether. And they then may go on to try other things like alternative therapies that offer an instant cure, for example. And then they then default their follow-up in clinic. But then they come back maybe 5 years later and we find that they've lost almost 90% of their eyesight.
Oh, wow.
And it's very sad at that point. And the sad thing is some of these alternative therapies that they seek may actually damage their eyesight rather than improve it. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, we have to spend more time communicating with them the importance of compliance.
Sure. And it's also self-advocacy, isn't it?
That's right.
I mean, as a patient, you need to find out more.
Precisely, yes. And I think patient support groups are very helpful. If you have a glaucoma patient, telling a newly diagnosed glaucoma patient more about it, they're more likely to understand and accept the information than being told to from another doctor.
Mm-hmm. But as you also mentioned, in this country, communication can be a huge problem.
Very big problem,
yeah.
Yes.
What else do you see contributes to this besides communication?
In terms of non-compliance? Mm-hmm. Well, as I said before, I mean, the complexity of the treatment regimen. So we have to find ways to simplify our patients' treatment medications in a sense that the drug companies have come forth with, say, combination tablets or combination eye drops. So if a patient has advanced glaucoma and they need more than one eye drop, they have made formulations where they've combined two different drugs into one bottle.
Right. Okay.
So it's used less frequently, once a day compared to twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those ways we can do it.
Other areas you feel can, you know, sort of improve this non-compliance?
In terms of improvement of the non-compliance, as I said, we have to improve the interaction between the doctor and the patient, break down the barriers between the physician and the patient. In my own clinic, I give handouts liberally. We print out lots of information leaflets. In fact, we have information in the clinic itself. Patients help themselves. In the clinic, there's a television screen that shows educational videos about particular eye diseases to educate them. The second thing is to consider things like generic medications if cost is an issue. I mean, that is controversial.
It is, because I am very particular.
Yes.
I tend to think that it is not superior.
It's hard to say. It's very hard to say. I've come across patients who are taking very good generics. I've come across patients who are taking not so good generics. So I think it depends on how they're manufactured and the quality of the process. But if cost is a real issue, it's better they're taking something rather than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's still a good option for those that can't afford the original drugs. And then really patient education, in the sense that we have more public forums on diseases, chronic diseases like diabetes and glaucoma and things like that, and making everyone aware of it. So I think things like World Sight Day, we recently in my hospital, we had a World Glaucoma Week whereby we screen patients for glaucoma, and World Diabetes Week, things like that, just to highlight particular chronic diseases. And once the public is aware of it, then they're more likely to be compliant with their treatment, mm-hmm. if they have the disease.
Sure. A lot of these treatments are long-term. It's for the rest of your life. It can be tedious.
Very,
Dr.
very
Fong,
tedious, yeah.
How do you, you know, maintain and make sure? I mean, you go on holiday sometimes,
yes.
You tend to forget.
Yes.
During the fasting month, you're in dilemma as to whether you should take your medications or not. You know, there's so many issues that come into play.
Yeah.
You know, what's your advice?
Well, for eye patients, it's a bit more difficult, I think. Putting drops in your eyes is actually more difficult than popping a pill because you need a bit of technical dexterity to maneuver the bottle over your eye, and press the bottle, get one drop perfectly into the eye, and very often they miss or they waste the whole bottle. So in a sense, we have things like drug insertion devices, special devices that the bottles can connect to that help open the eye for you, and then it allows you to press one bottle. The other thing is, as I mentioned, we have new drugs that we can use for once a day rather than twice a day, so reduce the frequency. But patients that need frequent eye drops, I think I just tell them to tailor it according to their daily regime. So if a patient needs drops 4 times a day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and before you go to bed, that's the way I tell it, rather than every 4 hours strictly. So then they'll be very confused. Oh, I should take this at 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, you know. So you spread it out, make it a bit more simple for the patient. And also really tell them why they're taking the drops. I think it's important that patients take control of their health and understand why they're doing a particular task. It's to improve their eye or their particular health. And then I think they'll be easier that way.
I know you mentioned earlier that not a specific group is non-compliant, but really, do you find that the younger generation is worse than the older one?
Not particularly, no. I don't agree. I mean, the younger generation, I think, are very, very well informed, very connected to the internet. And if they know they've got a particular problem, they'll do their own research. And I think that's good, because once they're educated, they know why they're taking a tablet or an eye drop or an inhaler or whatever, then they'll be more likely to be compliant. And I've not found it a problem with the younger patients.
Can you describe some of your patients who are non-compliant?
Yeah, I mean, there are many. I mean, a typical non-compliant patient would be an elderly, retired person. Perhaps, for example, the Chinese patients, they don't speak Malay or English when they come to the government clinic. And all they know is they have to come every 3 months for an eye checkup. And they come just to refill, get a repeat prescription for the eye drops. But when you sit down and talk to them, they don't actually use the drops.
Oh, dear.
They just keep it in the fridge.
Because they didn't quite understand.
They didn't quite understand. Or they would use it maybe a couple of times and then throw it away. So it's hard for them to understand why they have to use eye drop long term. You know, and it's just the sheer pressure of time in a government hospital that we just cannot communicate this to them. And that would be a very typical non-compliant patient. Mm-hmm. But if you actually sit down with them, and particularly if they have their relatives, their children or their spouses with them, and you communicate as a family, as a group, and then they've got the pressure at home. Are you taking your drops? Are you using it? And how? Then I think it's much, much easier. Mm-hmm. And also, those elderly patients who are less mobile, they just cannot physically put the eye drop in. And you only discover that when you actually said, show me how you put the eye drops in. And I've done this a few times, and I've discovered to my horror, they can't even lift their hands up to the eyes, and they physically cannot do it.
And there's no one else to help.
There's no one else to help. So I think for this group of patients, other options like laser treatment or surgery may be better for them, mm-hmm. rather than continuing to pretend that they are compliant with their treatment and then saying that everything's fine and see you in three months.
Yeah. Then, of course, you have pressure from peers, neighbors, you know, why are you on this medication? It doesn't work. You know, stop, go try this alternative stuff. How do you deal with that?
Well, we just have to accept that it happens. I mean, everyone, in fact, what's interesting in working in Malaysia is that when I worked overseas in the UK, there wasn't so much of this peer pressure or neighbor pressure or whatever about taking other treatments. But in Malaysia, I find that patients are more willing to listen to their neighbors than their doctors.
Why is that?
I don't know. I had this wonderful, I felt so much better after taking this new treatment. And, oh, you've got this eye problem. You got to try this. And they say, oh, maybe I should. And I think I will. And then they go on to that. And very often, the alternative therapies may actually be more expensive than their conventional therapies. So,
but it's natural and it'll get rid of it forever.
Precisely. So what they want is they've got a cure and it won't harm them. So I think that appeals to many people. And unfortunately, Western medicine, as you know, has that hurdle to cross, you know, because these medications like the glaucoma eye drops, they've been gone through huge clinical trials at huge expense to the drug companies. And they do work, but they have side effects. So if we can convey to the patient what side effects to expect, then I think they might be more compliant with the treatment. So I think it still boils down to communication.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. I mean, when you have people telling you that, you know, I have been through this and it has worked.
Yes.
You know, why are you bothering going the, you know, conventional way?
Yeah.
It doesn't help at all. And then, of course, you have the internet.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
With all sorts of alternatives.
Yes.
So you must have a tough job.
It's very difficult. I mean, getting a patient to attend their clinic follow-up can be a task in itself, you know, to say, why do I have to come back, you know, much less asking them to continue their medications. And in fact, the alternative medicines that we've come across are advertising heavily. They have their own talk shows and things like that. So it's a mixed message we're sending to our patients in mm-hmm. here, because I think it has a role. Complementary medicine has a role, supportive, and there have been studies done on traditional Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medications that shown that it does help in some diseases. So I think we have to make a balance.
But as you said, it's complementary.
It's complementary, yes.
It's not really alternative.
No. I don't think for chronic diseases that we know, like diabetes, hypertension, glaucoma, the conventional treatments work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where do you see this going forward?
Well, I think for a start, it's good we've had this discussion about this. And I hope your listeners are more aware of this topic. I think all of us have come across this. We are either
guilty of it
or we know someone who's guilty of it. And it's not intentional most of the time. We just forget. And now that we're aware of it and that this problem is there, you know, we should take steps to address it. Probably what I would advise is the next time you see your doctor is have a chat about your medications. Find out more. You know, find out exactly what you're taking and why you're taking it. And also be aware of the side effects of the medications, because very often the side effects stop us from continuing. So, for example, some glaucoma drops makes your eyes red. For some people, it makes your eyelashes grow longer. For the ladies, it's very nice. But for the men, it may be very difficult to accept. And so if we explain this clearly to them, what to expect, I think that would help improve their compliance.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Associate Professor Dr. Kenneth Fong, a consultant ophthalmologist and retinal specialist, talking to us about patient compliance with medications on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.